Should come as no surprise, headlines are still grabbing the attention of the markets, but this time from a livestock perspective, there's a little spin. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield, and Mike Castle joins us today at StoneX. And let's talk about what's been happening at Fort Morgan, because we know that they have been on the darker side the last 4 weeks or so. But now news coming out today has kind of rattled the chains of the, maybe pun intended, of this cattle market.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect way to put it. And it is, you know, if you are paying attention to these markets, like, you know, this plant in particular has been closed for, you know, 4 weeks. So this shouldn't be unexpected by any means, but we get the actual formal announcement of a lockout, you know, this morning, and you're seeing that headline really translate to weakness throughout the cattle complex. And it's really just the future side. I mean, the cash cattle market has obviously been extremely hot here for several weeks now, if not months. You know, you're talking about multiple weeks in a row of record high cash values. We have seen a little bit of 265 trading this morning. So overall, the cash cattle market is still extremely firm, but you look over at the future side of things and we're getting this ugly sell-off in response to that headline. So it doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense. I mean, obviously that headline sentiment does. And I think part of that is also just kind of coinciding with the broader commodity sell-off today. You know, probably not a coincidence to see stocks rallying like they are and seeing crude oil and the broader commodity sector kind of selling off in response to another fresh round of, hey, maybe some peace in the Middle East, maybe a deal with Iran being within reach. But it's hard for me to really hold my breath when it comes to that. Obviously, we've seen that headline multiple times over the last few months, but it does seem like, again, headlines are kind of dictating money flow. It's the big thing fundamentally. Does this change a whole lot? I mean, again, they've been closed for 4 weeks. We shouldn't be overly shocked by this. So I don't think this announcement really changes anyone's actual supply and demand expectations from where they've been the last several weeks. I really do think it's, again, just kind of this managed money flow out of commodities back into equities going on headlines here today.
So you talk about those headlines, and I know looking back to Monday, Mike, and how the markets were literally celebrating. Tuesday, they just kind of went, okay, wait a second. We need to think about what this agreement means with China. And now what's today? Do we just kind of mulling more over will or will not this deal go through with them?
I think everyone is still kind of trying to digest what's actually going to be committed to here, because we know something is going to be agreed to. And I think, you know, the immediate response is to take the lack of confirmation from the Chinese side as really bearish. And again, kind of tying back to the cattle side, we have this big speculative link from this managed money group. You know, I guess I should say category of traders. You know, they kind of tend to sell off when they don't have some kind of bullish fodder, right? Especially if they've been holding these positions for a while, they're happy to kind of take profits and sell off. But digging into this, we have actually gotten some movement from the Chinese side today. Their commerce ministry did put out some language, and notably, it did not confirm that $17 billion figure, nor did it, you know, kind of point to any specific products. But again, that's not unexpected. That's kind of how they operate. Even if you go back to this Falls agreement where they agreed to buy those 12 million metric tons of soybeans that they did end up buying, if you go back, they never publicly confirmed that, even though they did eventually end up buying. So I don't think we have to, you know, rule out this possibility entirely. You know, we kind of have to just look at where, you know, we could benefit from that kind of trade. So I've been doing some digging into, you know, what categories we've seen you know, kind of benefit in terms of non-soy demand. Obviously, beans and soy products in general, by far the biggest category, but corn and corn products is that top category. If you look at back at 2021 to 23, the average non-soy exports, ag exports, I should say, to China were about $17.5 billion. So basically, exactly the dollar figures we're talking about here. Corn and corn products, number one, that would include ethanol and DDGs. Cattle, beef, and bovine products would be two. I don't think that's a real great opportunity. Obviously, we're already extremely tight and high-priced in the U.S. Number three on there is cotton. That one kind of surprised me, but that would certainly feel like an opportunity. Coarse grains is four. That would include milo. That feels like it'll definitely be included. But it's, you know, whether they're going to commit to that $17 billion. I don't think you'll ever see public confirmation from their end. But again, that doesn't mean they're not actually going to commit to some purchases. I think the next thing to watch would be actual confirmation of tariffs being removed, because that would, again, kind of put us back on a more even playing field on these products. Something like corn is a prime example. We're already kind of in the ballpark where we are priced competitively to China. So overall, I think the market is just waiting for that fresh bullish fodder. Now, if you start to see something like a flash sale announcement of corn to unknown, or see something actually confirmed to China themselves, I'm guessing that managed money would flow right back in on that headline, especially, you know, if we start to see more geopolitical uncertainty kind of sink back in.
What are your thoughts on the U.S.-Iran dealings in the Strait of Hormuz? There seems to be talk of a ceasefire, the president backing off a little bit. What is your takeaway, and how is it going to continue to weigh in on these markets?
You would think at some point the markets would kind of get desensitized to these headlines, but I think just because of how big the economic impact is, they're kind of forced to pay attention to them, right, and react accordingly. So obviously, we've seen back and forth for months at this point, but we did get a quote today from President Trump that we're in the final stages when it comes to negotiating with Iran. So it's kind of continued to be right, to their own, but obviously both sides have to, you know, for lack of a better term, kind of talk tough to satisfy their own constituencies at home. So a lot of that you kind of have to look past. At some point, though, coming up on, I think, the 12-week mark here this weekend, but overall, it doesn't seem like anything really new at this point, but the markets are certainly reacting. Right, you've seen a bit of weakness on the stock side of things, mostly related to higher interest rate expectations. But now that we get this news that, hey, maybe a deal is closed, negotiations in person may actually kind of fire back up here in the near term, it's sending stocks higher, it's sending crude lower, and again, that's kind of weighing on the commodity sector as well, which I truly think is just a reflection of that money flow, again, kind of leaving the commodities in favor of getting back into the risk assets. But obviously, tomorrow we could get the same headline going the opposite direction in reverse course. So it's kind of just more of this roller coaster ride that we've been on for a couple months.
And finally, the weather. I mean, some areas are getting rain, some areas getting too much rain. How do you see that weighing in on the markets for the rest of today into tomorrow?
So I think that's probably also kind of part of the weakness that you're seeing in the grains here to start the week. Obviously, you got Monday's crop progress report. We're on a great pace planting-wise, right? We've gotten off to a record start in terms of soybean planting pace. Corn's at 76% complete. Both were a little bit ahead of expectations. Spring wheat was as well. So basically, the crop's getting in the ground very quickly. Summer forecasts look good. Basically, you just have to get through this tail end stretch of planting and early establishment. And we have been a bit wet here to start the week. I know, at least in my house in KC, we've gotten 4 inches of rain just in the first 2 days of the week. And obviously, that slows things down planting wise, in the near term. But overall, it's still beneficial to crop development to have that improved soil moisture. So I think the net result, even if it does slow down the tail end of planting here, the reality is the majority of the crop at the national level is already in the ground, so it's going to benefit from these rains. And overall, looking at summer forecasts, which obviously you kind of have to take with a grain of salt because they are long-term forecasts, but nothing looks overly threatening today. So the supply side of things does look somewhat heavy from that perspective. It looks like we're going to see pretty good growing prospects. We just kind of have to get through this little front end wet stretch that, you know, may end up overall being a net positive at the end of the day.
All right. Mike Castle joining us today. Quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss not suitable to all investors. That's your market wrap up right here on the American Ag Network.